Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrivent Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrivent Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrivent Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice.
Scripture says that he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more.
We are brothers and sisters in faith. We are children of the same Father.
I get on my knees every day, and I'm saying an extra prayer now. If I had a rain prayer or a rain dance I could do, I would do it.
Wir sind alle Bettler. We are all beggars. That's why we begin our divine service with, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities.
Indiana truck drivers, love issues, etc.
It is kind of the parable that if you know any parables, you know this one. You got the parable of the prodigal son, you got the parable of the lost sheep. And then you've got, if you know any parables, you've also got the parable of the Good Samaritan, which is not just a parable. It's kind of, it's like the prodigal son in that it's a parable and a parable and a parable. It is one of these mega parables out there that has a lot to say. And yet Jesus is answering one simple question. And he's driving toward one simple point. We're going to be talking about the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon, July the 24th, with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. That's how we'll start off, Issues Etc., at least. Greetings and welcome. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin, and thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, we'll do a little sermon review, actually a lot of sermon review, a sermon preached Sunday by Rick Warren at Saddleback Community Church in California, where he is still one of the more influential evangelical leaders. The sermon was titled, it's the latest in a long series, that's 7 weeks so far, sermon series he's doing during the summer. Keeping the Crazy Makers from Making You Crazy. A very interesting, and I will tell you in advance, typical Rick Warren sermon, kind of your classical how-to sermon, but we'll apply our simple diagnostic. How often is Jesus mentioned? Is he the subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? To that sermon for about an hour in the middle of Issues, Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon. Then Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse will be our guest. We'll talk about recent comments made by the president of Chick-fil-A. You've probably read about it, about traditional marriage. And the Boy Scouts have reaffirmed their policy of excluding gay members and leaders. We'll follow that with a little movie review. Pastor Jonathan Fisk has been to the movies. We're going to talk about The Dark Knight Rises, The Amazing Spider-Man, and believe it or not, Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. Pastor Fisk will be our guest in the last half hour of Issues, Etc. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is a regular guest. She's editor of Witness Mercy Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hello, Pastor. It's great to be back.
And congratulations in advance. I understand that you are traveling as we speak through just out of Illinois and into Indiana for your son's wedding. Is that correct?
That's right. My middle child, my only son, is getting married this Friday up in Marshall, Michigan. And we're working our way there to help with preparations and gather with the family. So, I'm on the road today, and it's a nice, warm summer day, and I'm sitting in a parking lot, actually a little south of Interstate 70 in Terre Haute, Indiana, which is my old stomping grounds. I grew up near here, so it's kind of fun to be here. But big week for our family, and especially for my son, Aaron.
Is this going to be for your first time to be a mother-in-law?
Yes, it is. So I've been given all kinds of wisdom, and it just really is a blessing, though, the family that our son is marrying into and the young lady that he's marrying, our wonderful godly family, Christian family. Her father's a pastor and actually will be marrying his daughter And her family then will be going on to Sri Lanka to be career missionaries for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It's Pastor Roger James and his wife Amy and the siblings of Kezia, who is marrying my son. She'll stay stateside, and her family will go to the far side of the earth to proclaim the gospel. So big summer in their family, big summer in our family, and had lots of people tell me what my job is as the mother-in-law and what to do and what not to do, and it's been kind of fun.
Yeah, they say wear beige and keep your mouth shut. That's the general rule.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. Well, I'm not wearing beige. If anyone knows me, they know I don't do beige well, so I've got a little color, but it'll be all right. I'll keep quiet.
To the parable of the Good Samaritan here in Luke chapter 10, what's the occasion of Jesus telling this famous parable?
Well, this text falls right after the sending of the 72 and they're coming back and reporting to Jesus what happened. And then it says, you know, in that same hour, Jesus rejoices in the Holy Spirit and thanks his Father, the Lord of heaven and earth, that he has hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. And his last words, before we get to this parable, Jesus says, "For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." And then we have this, the parable of the Good Samaritan, and right after it, the whole Mary and Martha and Jesus in their home and, you know, which did the greater thing, Mary or Martha, the one preparing to serve the teacher or the one who sat at his feet. And so both of these parables really talk about really hearing what God is trying to say and Jesus in them clarifying really the one thing needful, what is most important. And, of course, in both of them, it is who the Savior is. And so he tells this story because a lawyer stands up and puts him to the test and says, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" What a great question. Every pastor wants to hear it, I suppose, and also wants the listener to take what he has to say. But Jesus then responds with, "What is written in the law?" You know, these are those times in between the Old Testament and the New. The Jewish people, very steeped in the law, and not fully aware that this man Jesus has come to fulfill it. So Jesus knows, he knows the law, and the lawyer answers him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And, of course, Jesus replies, "You have answered correctly." And then he tacks onto it, "Do this, and you will live." But then the lawyer, as the text says, desiring to justify himself, and you know, like any of us, "Well, I can't do this to everybody all the time." The lawyer wants to shave that down a little to a more reasonable request. So he says to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus then tells this wonderful parable that, like you say, it's one of the parable of parables. You even hear it referred to in culture and society by people who don't really even know who Jesus is, because it is such a strong story and lesson. So then you have Jesus talking about the man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, falling among robbers. They beat him, they strip him, they leave him half dead by the side of the road. And then he recounts that by chance a priest was going down that road, so we know a religious man, a man of the word, and when he sees this half-dead man, he crosses to the other side and keeps going. And then a Levite, another religious leader, when he comes to the place and sees the man, he too passes by on the other side. And then Jesus says, but a Samaritan, and that's kind of key. We can talk about that a little bit. a Samaritan as he journeyed, suggesting this man is on a long trek. This isn't his home city or hometown. He comes to where the robbed and wounded man is, and when he sees him, it says he had compassion. He binds him up. He takes care of him, pours on oil and wine on his wounds. He sets him on his own animal and brings him to an inn and took care of him. And then he even pays the innkeeper and says, take care of him. With this money, whatever more you spend, I'll repay you when I come back. He has to keep going, but he wants this man cared for. And then Jesus simply says, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And the lawyer answers, the one who showed him mercy. And then Jesus says to him, you go and do likewise.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, editor of Witness, Mercy, Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're talking about the parable of the Good Samaritan. Well, we've heard it with its bookends of its introduction and then Jesus saying, go and do likewise. When we come back, we'll hear what Jesus means to say by telling this very famous parable. We base our conversations with Pam every week on the Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House called Growing in Christ. It points toward Christ, and there's a lot of ways you could misread a parable like this. An example to follow, what to do in the case of finding someone beaten along the side of the road, a simple how-to, but that's not exactly what Jesus means to get to, because the center of his parables, as with the center of all Scripture, is his saving work for us that he accomplished all alone and by himself as our substitute on the cross. That's the center of all Scripture, and it's the center of every Sunday school lesson from Growing in Christ. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or order Concordia Publishing House's Growing in Christ Sunday School Curriculum, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. We'll be right back. Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrivent Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrivent Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrivent Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice.
Looking for a church that has a small, family-like atmosphere, yet strives for excellent liturgical worship with outstanding music while focused on God's Word and sacraments? A church located in the heart of St. Louis and reaching out to the neighborhood with Jesus Christ and Him crucified? I'm Pastor John Helwig of Emmaus Lutheran Church at 2241 South Jefferson in St. Louis. I invite you to join us for Bible class Sunday mornings at 9 and worship at 10:30. Visit us on the web at emmaus-stl.org.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Over summer, 2.5 months of what a child learned in school can leak away. Call Sylvan to turn summer learning loss into a gain. Sylvan pinpoints exactly what skills your child needs in just 3 hours a week over 12 weeks. You'll see results in your child's math or reading performance improving one grade level guaranteed, demonstrated through the pre and post assessment. So call now. At participating locations only. Some restrictions may apply. Call for complete guarantee details.
Sylvan Learning Center of Shiloh, 618-628-0018. 628-0018.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talking about the parable of the Good Samaritan, Luke chapter 10. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. Pam, there are a lot of different ways that this has been read in the life of the church, but one of the things Jesus is doing is simply answering the question. And it's that simple. He's simply saying this: the neighbor to the man was the one who actually had compassion on him and very self-sacrificially saw to the man's needs, paying for all of it out of his own pocket without any realistic expectation of being paid back, even allowing himself to be committed to further debt if necessary, should the man take longer to recover. Is there a picture of Jesus in here, not just of a neighbor?
Well, absolutely there is, because what Jesus is portraying here are actions far beyond any sinner's capacity for mercy. I mean, this is a story that, to the lawyer's ears, he gets the answer right because it's obvious who had compassion on the man, but to understand in that day and that time that this was a Samaritan who stopped, and it was likely a Jew who was beaten up beside the road and puts his life at peril, because obviously there are robbers along that road. They've gotten this guy, they could get him. His act is great, and this is a parable, and Jesus does aim to kind of upend, I think, this lawyer who thinks, you know, remember his beginning thing is, what must I do to be saved? And he's trying to get Jesus to make it easier for him to fulfill the law. And Jesus doesn't really deliver on that. He shows how hard it is to fulfill the law. And, you know, when you and I read this from afar, as in many, many, many times this lesson is taught this way, oh, if you just go and do likewise and you love your neighbor, that's what Jesus wants you to do. Well, yes, fifth commandment, we're supposed to help and aid our neighbor, not kill him, not hurt or harm him, but help and aid him. And yet we realize, and that's what Jesus wants us and this lawyer to realize, we don't do that. Daily, we pass by on the other side of the road. Daily, we disregard our neighbor's need, whatever it is, the stranger, the coworker, the person that sits next to us on the bus or the train, the classmate, the employer, you name it. The people that God allows in our lives on a daily basis who daily have needs, and we look beyond them in our sinfulness and trudge on, determined to do what we've set about to do, determined to do what we need. So we look at this story and go, oh, I'm the Levite, I'm the priest, I cross by on the other side. And that's what Jesus is trying to make a point. What must I do to be saved? Well, yeah, keep the law perfectly, go ahead. And then we all have to say, no, I can't. And then in this, we see that another side of it, that we're the broken one. We're the one that has had our life taken from us by sin, death, and the devil. And we're the ones half dead, robbed of life, laying on the side of the road. And it is the Son of God who comes by and saves us, rescues us. Not only does he pay a couple denarii and indebt himself to an innkeeper, he gives his entire life for us on the cross and pays our debt of sin, pays for every time that we have crossed by on the other side of the road, ignoring our neighbor's need. And in doing that, he frees us to serve our neighbor. Our needs have been taken care of. Our hurts, our wants are all healed because of Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection. And so when we do see our neighbor in need, God in us, Christ in us, is free to serve that neighbor, trusting and knowing that God continues to provide all that we need so that we can care reach out in mercy to the ones that need it.
So this parable is classic law and gospel. For the man who man who hears it immediately, it is obviously the lawman who thinks he can be saved by what he does. For us who overhear it, it is both law and gospel in that we see in the Samaritan Christ, a pale figure of Christ, but albeit one that is fulfilled completely in Christ's work for us. And it is also it's also instruction as to who the neighbor really is.
That's exactly right. You know, I've heard over the years the debate, well, is this just to teach us about Christ and that we're the broken ones and he comes and save us and there's nothing here about how we should live? And then you have others who say, no. This is clearly instruction in how to live, and it provides an example for us. And, well, it's both and, isn't it? It's all there. It's complete. And, you know, God did give us the law, and what do we confess? A curb, mirror, and a rule that the law provides for us. Knowing it at times does curb our behavior. Knowing the law, we look into the mirror and see that we haven't fulfilled it. And the law provides for us a rule for life. And so, and we sing, the law of God is good and wise, and yet it is not the law that can save us, and that's the point, that Jesus wants this lawyer and we, the readers, the students of this parable, to understand. You know, if you think you can fulfill the law, great, because that's what it takes to be saved. And it should drop us to our knees. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. I can't fulfill this. I can't even take care of my neighbor that I see here today. And I didn't take care of him yesterday or the other thousands of neighbors that have need of me. And then all the other ways we fail in the law. So it points us to the Savior. And in that, in our sin, we really are that beaten up, bloody person, half dead, left for dead on the side of the road, left by Satan. And it is God in his great love who sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and die for us, to pay our debt, to heal the wounds of sin, to give us eternal life so that we live and not die and live forever. All of that comes in Christ, and he is the complete, the ultimate Good Samaritan. And we learn from him, and we receive from him, and in him we have life. It's a wonderful story. And teachers, if you don't get to Christ as the Good Samaritan, you've missed the point, the big point here, and it's very important to talk about that and help the children to see Christ as the Good Samaritan and to help them see themselves often as the priest and the Levite passing by and not caring for the neighbor, and also to see themselves as the wounded, half-dead person on the side of the road who's been robbed and beaten. We can see ourselves in all three of those people, and we can see Christ clearly in the Samaritan.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is editor of Witness, Mercy, Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Next week we'll talk with Pam about Dorcas, the mercy worker. Pam, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you. Have a wonderful week. We'll talk to you next week.